Welcome to Federal Insights for April, a spotlight on cloud, sponsored by JTEC Data Solutions and Dell Technologies.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Federal Insights. I'm Eric White. Technology advances in particular cloud computing and its associated services are causing many agencies to rethink their storage, backup, and disaster recovery strategies, using the cloud for these purposes instead of a duplicate data center. One example is the U.S. Agency for International Development. Federal News Network's Tom Temin spoke with its chief technology officer, Sukhvinder Singh.
So as you know, I'm like USAID, we have 80-plus overseas mission locations. So, our network does extend outside U.S., U.S., and that's where most of our locations are. Even in the U.S., most of, I would say, 95% and more of our infrastructure is in the cloud. And we have two co-locations, one on the East Coast and another one on the West. And in the co-locations, we have a very small footprint, which is really the interconnects, that we have to connect to our cloud service providers. And as far as the user base is concerned, we have 13 to 14,000 users, give and take, and half of those, more than half of those are overseas, and rest are here in Washington area.
So just to make sure I understand, the interconnects or the co-locations at the East and West Coasts are basically connect points to the clouds, almost like satellite downlink centers.
That's correct. So when I say interconnect, they are direct connects to the major data center the cloud service providers, and we don't go through the general internet, basically. So it is a back-end connection to the cloud providers.
And how do the individual users get to those connection centers, those co-locations on the two coasts?
So unlike the users in U.S., as I said, like they're mostly in Washington area. So we have an MPLS that connects to our co-locations and data center on the East Coast. The overseas users, depending on the mission, we have routed some missions to our West Coast location because of the latency, because we cut down latency anywhere from 60 milliseconds to 100 milliseconds in some cases. Bulk of our missions go through East Coast. So they connect directly to our co-locations and then to the cloud service providers.
And is there any data storage, any application at all running in those centers, or is it pretty much all in the cloud? You said 95% of most of what you do is in the cloud.
Yes, we do have some very specific applications in the co-locations, and they are mostly our management, and control kind of applications, whether we want to control, our security stack or our wireless or our network, management. Those kind of applications or services are in co-location. And it's very specific. I should just emphasize on that. So that's because of security and the way we have designed the overall network management.
And what about data? Is there any data kept in those centers, or is all the data in the cloud, essentially?
So data also, most of, again, essentially, the data is in the cloud. So related to these application-specific ones in co-location, there is some data, but it is not, we're not dumping any bulk data, in the co-location. So very specific, and there is some backup also, related data that we do use or store in co-location, which is not much.
Okay, and with respect to the cloud providers, how do you load balance all of that, or do you leave it all to them? I mean, how much visibility into where they are putting your stuff do you have?
So, we use FedRAMP, public cloud, and I mean, it really, we go by the security controls and requirements. We we do ask certain questions, you know, okay, where our data is. I'm like, in most of the cases, it is, you know, in the continent of the U.S. But as probably you know, some providers, they do kind of basically store, you know, parts of the data in different locations so they can have redundancy or backup in case there is an issue on the cloud service provider so they can recover the data.
And maybe just give us a sense of the size of the data holdings that you have and the sources of data, maybe a sense of the types and range of data holdings that USAID has to maintain.
We are not any way different than most of the other organizations or in federal government, you know, other agencies. Like, as I said, bulk of our data center, you know, and the services are in the cloud. So we do have, you know, our applications, enterprise, you know, level applications. We have just some pure, you know, SaaS offerings. Some we also use platform as a service. So it is just a mix of everything, I would say. We are not using cloud just for very specific application. Like our whole data center is in the cloud. So all the applications, you know, and services that we have, if nothing else, they are running on virtual machines, which are infrastructure service for us, you know, in the cloud.
Got it. And how do you rationalize data downloads, data transfers, and so forth to maintain the safety of the data, but also to avoid excessive withdrawal charges, if you will, which is where a lot of cloud providers kind of tend to load up on the fees?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So we do have, you know, the data loss prevention, you know, kind of mechanism to kind of stop, you know, users from sharing data, you know, with outside. There are policies in place. As far as the pulling the data out of the cloud and the charges, I think it really is kind of a good thing for us, you know, since we have bulk of our infrastructure and services, you know, with one cloud provider, so we don't need to get data out of that and then process it somewhere else, you know. So it is all the processing and the visualization typically happens in the same cloud kind of environment. So just to give you an idea, I'm like, we just looked at, you know, average data out or egress, you know, kind of a cost per month average for us, the entire USAID is both locate, you know, both look. So we do have cloud, you know, FedRAMP on East and West to go with the co-locations. So it is less than $2,000, you know, per month, which is pretty good, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, considering the number of users you have, that's almost like you don't
correct.
Even notice that in the grand scheme of the budget.
Correct. Yeah, I'm like, if you compare this, like, you know, if you have even one major application, let's just say in the cloud, and we are visualizing or processing data out of that, you know, somewhere else, it can be pretty expensive and costly.
Sukhvinder Singh, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Agency for International Development, will be back with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Eric White.
Modernize, automate, and transform your agency's IT operations with JTEC Data Solutions and Dell Technologies. We modernize IT infrastructure with a cloud-smart approach, validate and instrument cybersecurity to optimize threat protection, and utilize intelligent automation to remove repeatable tasks, driving efficiency across the workforce. JTEC ensures critical systems are supported, allowing agencies to stay focused on their mission, achieve limitless digital transformation. Visit JTEKDS.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Sukhvinder Singh, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Agency for International Development. He spoke with Federal News Network's Tom Temin on how to use cloud services for data backup and disaster recovery.
And if you had normal data centers, you know, on the ground, you would have a disaster backup recovery situation. What is your strategy for backup and recovery and for disaster recovery, given that you are almost totally cloud, or does that become a moot question?
No, it is certainly not a moot question. You know, as I mentioned, you know, we have a co-location presence on both East and West Coast, as well as we have the cloud, you know, FedRAMP cloud to go with those co-locations. So our disaster is disaster recovery mechanism is also in the cloud. So we do have the most critical applications based on the business impact analysis. You know, they are also on the West Coast in case if East Coast fails, you know. So we have the networking, routing, all of that stuff is in place to route the traffic to West Coast if there is an issue on the East Coast, let's just say, you know. And certainly then we have the data replicated and everything. And the backups are also done for most of these services in the cloud. They are also taken care, you know, from the redundancy point of view or application point of view. So we do have disaster recovery, and that's really the major reason we went to the cloud, you know, that we don't need to really kind of have, you know, heavy duty kind of, you know, infrastructure to provide disaster recovery capabilities.
So that means then you don't really have to own and operate much in the way of any sort of storage arrays or storage architectures, physical, that you would own and operate.
No, we don't. No, that's correct. Yeah. So we don't have the only small footprint we have, going back to my earlier point on the co-location side, you know, so that's where we have small footprint of storage. And it is also a hyper-converged, you know, infrastructure that we use. So most of, as I said, 95% and more, you know, whether it's a storage or infrastructure like, you know, VMs or, you know, other services that go with it, they're all in the cloud.
And on just a day-to-day basis and a management basis, how do you get visibility? What kind of tools do you use to know what's going on in the cloud? Because even though it's a commercial service, it's your applications and your data.
Yeah, so we do have a cloud management, you know, tool in place, you know, so that's really what we use. And that helps us with not only, you know, the insight into the cost side of things, but also, you know, what's happening. And we have pretty good governance and management, you know, control structure in place. So that certainly helps too, you know, what's being added or change in the cloud, especially infrastructure as a service. You know, I'm like in SaaS, as you can imagine, we don't really have to take care of any infrastructure or a platform. It is just a software, a service. So that's more or less pretty straightforward compared to infrastructure. That's where things get more complicated. So we do have cloud management tool that we use. We have certain templates, you know, that we use to make changes.
Got it. And what about does that visibility into the cloud also extend to performance and knowing when things might be slowing down? You mentioned 100 milliseconds, which is about the limit of what people can then begin to sense, you know, when they're typing or, you know, or if they're talking, you can really notice it for less than that. But what kinds of performance and possible indicators of things going wrong, do you get those through the cloud management?
So cloud management doesn't give that, you know, for that, we do have, you know, network monitoring tools in place. We do use heavily, you know, the network optimization infrastructure, you know, so we can cache, you know, a lot of things. One thing I forgot to mention, the visibility in the cloud. So we have rolled out, you know, Cloud Access Security Broker, which does actually provide, you know, insight into what cloud services are being used, whether they're authorized or not, like shadow IT kind of thing. So, going back to your question on the performance, so we do have network monitoring and optimization tools in place to keep an eye on, you know, if something is not working at the level, you know, performance-wise. So we can look into it and correct it. I'm like, we have been like everybody else, you know, 100% remote for the last year or so, and haven't heard much of a performance issue. You know, there are instances, certainly happens, but It's not like anything widespread. So we have pretty robust kind of a design in place. So we do optimize not only in the US, but I'm like our optimization infrastructure is timely. I think we put it for our missions overseas. So they all connect back here in US for bulk of the cloud services.
Which gets to the question of those people overseas. You said that more employees are overseas than in the United States for USAID, which is understandable given the mission. And do you have some kind of data architecture or data distribution schema, perhaps, that puts data close to the source of where it might be used? Or is everything a reach back to the United States, West Coast, and then to the cloud? And how do you manage all of that?
So most of the data is in US, and it's just not West Coast. There are certain Far East Asia missions, I would say, they connect to West Coast. Most of the missions in Africa and other countries, they connect to East Coast. So there is not much data, at the mission level because of the security and because of the centralized kind of design of our applications. But by using, these optimization mechanisms and the way we route, I think we have been pretty successful. I'm like, there are, I think, very handful of missions, they're still not at the level of, bandwidth and obviously the latencies is a law of physics. We can't do much about it. But I think the infrastructure overseas is getting better too, with time. So we haven't really hit any big issues so far.
Sukhvinder Singh, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Agency for International Development, will return with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Eric White.
Modernize, automate, and transform your agency's IT operations with JTEC Data Solutions and Dell Technologies. We modernize IT infrastructure with a cloud-smart approach, validate and instrument cybersecurity to optimize threat protection, and utilize intelligent automation to remove repeatable tasks, driving efficiency across the workforce. JTEC ensures critical systems are supported, allowing agencies to stay focused on their mission. Achieve limitless digital transformation. Visit JTEKDS.com.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Sukhvinder Singh, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Agency for International Development. He discussed the use of cloud computing services for data backup and disaster recovery with Federal News Network's Tom Temin.
Is the issue that would produce performance problems point to point within a place like Africa, or is it crossing the ocean that is the contributing factor there?
Yeah, I'm like, as I said, like, so when missions, they have to connect, each other, they don't necessarily come through. And most of the time when they connect, from one mission to another, I'm like, they are really connecting for, communication, like I would say, like telephone or VTC kind of, services. But when it comes to actual application data, they all come back here. And the latency, I'm like Africa, I think it's anywhere from 150 or so milliseconds, but like Far East Asia is more of an issue. That's why we routed to West Coast. So it is working, I would say, well, with the optimization, mechanism in place and the way, I think we have kind of divided, this routing, in US.
Sure. And you mentioned deduplication, I think, early on. Describe your strategy for maintaining efficiency of data such that it is less expensive and faster to back up, recover from, and move around the world. Because very often, we've heard this millions of stories where everybody's working on a document and suddenly there's 500 copies of it and they're all identical and they're all stored all over the place.
Yeah, and for us, I'm like, we are heavy users of Google applications, right? So if you're using, let's just say, Drive, I'm like, Google has excellent, deduplication and optimization in place. For us, when it comes to backups, we have deduplication and other mechanisms to avoid, this problem, right? So I'm like, I don't know any specific, case here, that I can share, where things are not kind of optimized, whether by us, if we have the control or When we select the service, we look into all these aspects.
But using those online applications is one way if people collaborate on a single copy of a given document, whether through, through one of the cloud providers, then you've got sort of a built-in avoidance of a lot of data duplication.
Yeah, that can happen, So we haven't really kind of, in depth, in those kind of scenarios. Again, you're right, like one document can have 500 different copies, So I think it's just some sort of, like we do rely on some training and, and we do clean up, wherever we can, especially on our network, and we have quota systems, that also forces people to be more careful, about how they use the storage.
And do you have the ability to have inter-cloud interoperability? Say you need to spin up one of the virtual machines and it's in cloud Y. Is there any way that should the need arise, it could be spun up in cloud X, even though they're different companies?
Yes, we do. In fact, in some cases, we do, have machines, virtual machines running in one cloud, and then we do get data in another cloud, let's just say for some, data processing needs or visualization purposes or correlation purposes. So we do have that mechanism. And as long as you have the back-end direct connections, I think it's get easier because then you don't need to route through the internet. Which is costly, obviously, as well as it's slow. So we do have that in place.
And when developing new applications, are you able to, with this architecture and this cloud setup, be able to use existing data stores that might be needed by new applications in addition to the data that they develop themselves? Because so many applications now use multiple sources of data as opposed to, say, database applications, which are on the front end of a database and just using that as the source of information.
Yeah, so that also goes back to, I think, if it's a new application, right? So we certainly need to look at what this application is going to be interacting with, other systems from the integration point of view or interface point of view. So it is a kind of selection process, right? Okay, I'm like, most of it, as I said, like our infrastructure applications at the corporate level, they are in one cloud. So our tendency is to put it there because then we don't need to get data in and out of that cloud, and that's why we are successful of with this kind of very low data out kind of a cost. But if there is a scenario where we have to put in a different cloud, I'm like, then I think our focus would be to minimize, that data in and out case, basically, however we can do it, and just not just in bulk, let's say pull the data and then process there, rather just process there if that's possible, and then just give whatever is really needed, in another cloud for visualization or whatever that purpose is.
That was Sukhvinder Singh, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Agency for International Development, speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin. To hear this interview in its entirety or to share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for April, a spotlight on cloud, sponsored by JTech Data Solutions and Dell Technologies on Federal News Network.
As you navigate the uncertainties of our new reality, Federal News Network is here to guide you through it. Download our revamped mobile app for all the latest news and information on your agency's evolving telework, pay and leave policies, acquisition guidance, and what this all means for your TSP. We're here to serve you, the dedicated federal employees and contractors who continue to serve your mission. The Federal News Network app, available on the App Store and on Google Play.